It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them!
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central. On CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Hello from Tampa. Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Put that phone down, Billy Wagner. It's time to talk some Illinois football. We're doing a little counter-programming to Illinois basketball, which is taking on Bethune-Cookman, about to tip off at State Farm Center. Some big lineup changes, starting lineup changes for Illinois. So that's always a big topic. We can talk about that later. We'll have an eye on the game, but Derek Piper's covering that tonight. And there's bigger news than a Bethune-Cookman basketball game for Illinois athletics, because Illinois football just landed one of the top transfer quarterbacks in the portal, Luke Altmyer, the Ole Miss transfer quarterback, former top 200 prospect as a prep, played some games at Ole Miss, but only threw about 54 passes at Ole Miss in his 2 years with Lane Kiffin, lost out on a very, very competitive quarterback battle to Jackson Dart. But he's the number nine transfer quarterback from what I saw on 24/7 Sports, top 10 transfer quarterback. He had options like Baylor, Stanford, NC State, I'm told, visited Coastal Carolina, but also visited Illinois. So, Joey Wagner, what's your initial reaction to Luke Altmyer committing to Illinois?
It's good for Illinois. Like, I know that's so basic and so obvious, but it's for a lot of reasons, right? Jeremy, number one, I mean, he's a talented kid, and we can get into the fact that he's not particularly proven at this level. I think that's fair and very obvious, but I think the thing I've been hung up on since we heard his name thrown out there and visited, and then since he committed, is my first impression is if you're Illinois football and this goes well, you probably don't have to worry about a quarterback until at the earliest the going into the 25 season. That would mean he was here for 2 years, and if he wasn't here any longer, that is probably good for Illinois. I mean, he took that step. And if it doesn't go that level of well, you go into the 26th season with the same quarterback. I mean, that's not – I mean, I know Brandon Peters had 3 years. That was – COVID was weird, the whole deal. To get a possible three-year starting quarterback, and there's going to be all sorts of growing pains in Barry Lunny's system and with him just getting those game reps, dude, that is like a weight off the shoulder from this one-year quarterback carousel that Illinois feels like it's been in for forever.
By the way, Joey won the flip of the coin here. He's out by the pool, the fire pit back there. I think he's at the bar. Are you belly up at the bar right now?
I'm not at the bar. There's actually no one's here. Everyone's doing their pool stuff. I'm over at the Illinois game, basketball games on the TV in front of me. I got a Yingling. It's at Illini Inquirer after dark in Florida. Give me that hour, please. But yeah, man, this is a pretty good setup. When you're like, I'll do it from the room. I thought, oh, foolish for you, but all right, man. I'm gonna go enjoy Florida weather.
I gave one to you there, Joey. So I get the next one. But yeah, I'll be joining you down after this podcast. So I might try and wrap it up pretty quickly here. But Tampa treating us well so far after a long, grueling drive. Went to Hat Tricks, got some great wings. Love that place. It was a fantastic experience at Hat Tricks. As the Tampa Bay Lightning have come into our life the last 2 days with the two Lightning games. They love their Lightning here. But yeah, this is a landmark edition, Joey. And my biggest takeaway, and I wrote this in my What It Means column, is that think about how much their sell to quarterbacks has improved the last year, really. I mean, Brett Bielema sold himself to Tommy DeVito last year, right? But that year with Tommy DeVito and Barry Lunny Jr. has changed the sell for Illinois. And Brett Bielema has done this, right? quarterback for Illinois has been an issue really since Nathan Shiehaus graduated. And you just got one of the best transfers on the market, at least according to 24/7 Sports. He had really good options. And this is a former top pedigree guy, right? He had an offer from Alabama. He had offers from great programs out of Starkville, Mississippi. He didn't go to Mississippi State. He went to Ole Miss, and Lane Kiffin obviously has a really good history of quarterback development. And this guy had other choices that most people probably a couple years ago would have thought were better choices. But right now it's understandable why Luke Altmyer would want to go to Illinois. And I think that in itself is – it tells you how far Illinois has come. I don't know if Luke Altmyer will work out. I don't know if he'll be great. But this is a high-ceiling prospect with pedigree, not as proven as Hudson Card, which is why I think Illinois prioritized him initially. But Luke Altmyer is a guy with the potential to be a really good Power 5 quarterback, maybe a guy that has a chance to play at the next level if everything goes right. And he chose to play for Illinois because he can start immediately, but also because they've shown that they can develop guys. And Tommy DeVito in his year under Barry Loney had his best season, and under Brett Bielema had his best season. The development at Illinois is on the up and up. So I think that in itself, Joey, says a lot about where Illinois is at as a program, that this made sense for Luke Altmyer.
Yeah. And Jeremy, we've been talking about this since it's been almost a year since the Barry Loney news broke, or at least the Tony Peterson news broke, and they brought in Barry Loney. Those were, I mean, we've been clear, we didn't expect 8-4 this season, right? I think that's pretty reasonable. I know that a lot of people did, but we thought, and we've talked about it all year, that one of the underlying things that was important this year is to increase your pitches at certain positions. Quarterback was one of them. Your pitch right now is a heck of a lot better than it was when you got Tommy DeVito to come join your program. And that has a lot to do with Tommy DeVito. It has a lot to do with Barry Loney. I think if you're Illinois, you might even pitch, and I know this was brought up when I talked with Colin Dixon's coach when he committed, you might even pitch, hey, Doak Walker candidate finalist Chase Brown isn't here. Like, maybe you could pitch like, hey, we're still going to throw up more than we did during the 2022 season. So the pitch, that's the biggest thing. I thought beyond Tommy DeVito's stats and productions and manning the offense, the pitch to the next quarterback was such an important storyline. And why would Luke Altmyer be here if this season wasn't what it was? And that's not to say this was some monumental passing season for Illinois. That's not accurate. But it was a good season from a team that showed a willingness to pass. And to your point, to quote our good friend and perpetual lurker, Tom Fornelli, I like the addition. I don't know if it'll work, but I like it. And yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons to think it could work. But I also understand if you're just passing by and you see he's got X number of pass attempts, that you might be like, okay, I don't know. But I think the ceiling is there, the potential's there. All of that is sitting right there. And now Barry Loney's got to get it out of him, right? And he's got to – and Luke Altmyer's got to grasp this offense with Barry Loney. And having the spring to do that seems like an important thing.
Yeah, Luke Altmyer should be here in January and get going because he is the QB1. For Illinois, and we'll talk about depth here, but they had to get a good guy. And I had confidence, Joey, they would get somebody that was more proven or better pedigree than what they have. Because right now what they have is Donovan Leary, who certainly has some tools. I think he's got a solid all-around skill set. But he didn't have a lot of Power 5 options when he committed to Illinois. He had some offers, but then those kind of cooled off towards the end of the process. Tony Peterson goes and gets him later in the process. And I think Donovan Leary obviously has – good bloodlines here. I think he's a bright kid. I think he's, again, has a solid overall skill set, but you weren't going into a season with a redshirt freshman who's the number four quarterback thinking you're going to win a lot of games next year. Kirkland Michaud, I know you see him and you're like, that's what a Power 5 quarterback.
What a strapping gentleman, that guy.
You and Scott Ritchie love your big quarterbacks, and Kirkland Michaud certainly is that, and a powerful arm. And it'll be interesting to see how he develops. I think it's great that Kirkland and Donovan Leary, behind Luke Altmyer, will get some meaningful reps throughout this bowl practices leading into this. And then now during spring practice, they will get meaningful reps because they didn't this year. You know, as number four and five quarterback, they're the scout quarterbacks basically during the season. So they're repping in other systems. But Luke Altmaier brings a lot of talent. He brings the best pedigree. He is an improvement talent-wise. And he has played at the Division I level. But compared to Tommy DeVito, who's also a four-star prospect and very highly recruited, Tommy DeVito had thrown 574 passes when he came to Illinois. He had one really good season at Syracuse. So when Illinois landed him, to me, there was no doubt he was the starter and would be a good option and likely be an improvement because you had the actual evidence of it. Luke Altmaier came into games and came into the Sugar Bowl last year and was competent. But he made big mistakes because he's a freshman playing against a great Baylor team at that time. But he also made some throws and made some plays with his feet that you thought, oh, this guy's got it. And then he got into a battle with a transfer, Jackson Dart. It came down to the wire. Altmaier actually started a game. They kind of did the Michigan thing where Dart started a game, then Altmaier started a game. But Altmaier left with an injury, had some mistakes, had some accuracy issues, and Dart took that job. Dart wasn't the most consistent either, but he's a really good quarterback with a great pedigree as well. So you have a guy in Altmaier that's completed 28 of 54 passes, 317 yards, three touchdowns, three interceptions. But I watched the film, Joey, of basically every rep he's had at the college level. He's got tools, man. Not the biggest arm, kind of like DeVito. I think he's got enough of an arm. But this isn't Quinn Ewers, right, at Texas that's just going to have that NFL arm. But he can make all the throws. He can make them downfield. Not the most accurate on his deep ball. But he's better deep ball, actually, than I think Hudson Card. But Hudson Card in the intermediate and short game was really good. I think Altmaier's got to be better with his decision-making. I think that comes with reps, and he needs those game reps. So I think he's going to have some growing pains as a starter. But the good news for Illinois is you can deal with those growing pains, and he can grow because he's got 3 years of eligibility left. But I really love his mobility, Joey. He can really move out and around in the pocket, and he can make plays with his legs. I think he's going to be really good from that standpoint. Really like Tommy DeVito was, though Tommy wasn't late in the season due to his injury. He's got the tools, man. I just think he needs reps, and that's going to take some growing pains. But I do think he showed I liked how he, in this battle, it seemed like him and Jackson Dart were supportive of each other. Didn't seem like he got too frustrated with everything. But he wants to be a starter, and Dart's the guy at Ole Miss. So, again, the tools are there. The question is, we just haven't seen a lot of them. The sample size is really small.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember how much we saw. I know more. We saw more from Brandon Peters when he transferred from Michigan than we've seen thus far of Luke Altmaier. But, man, that's kind of what you're going to get, right? Like, the quarterback, everyone feels like everyone's looking for a quarterback in the transfer portal. And Illinois' pitch is better, but there are better pitches that exist than Illinois'. But that doesn't mean Luke Altmaier is not a good basketball. I'm watching basketball right now. My brain's all over. Not a good football player. It's just you're going to have to grow with him. But because he doesn't have – like, it's such a two-sided coin because he doesn't have those reps, he also has the eligibility. Like, that to me is so important. Like, if you get a guy who's Tommy DeVito, who's got all those reps and passes – you're only going to get him for a year or 2 years if you can. And you gotta get someone to grow. And that's what Illinois needed, Jeremy, is somebody to come in and just help, one, be a good quarterback and execute the offense and lead Illinois. But we're seeing it with the way this quarterback room is. There's a very awkward gap of quarterbacks, right? And, like, by the time Luke Altmaier leaves, whether it's after 2 years or after 3 years, that's how many – for Donovan Leary, how many years for him? How many years for Cal Swanson? They're going to bring a quarterback into probably every class, right? So I think all of those things matter. And, like, that to be the bridge, to be a longer Alex Pilstrom. I know we talked about Alex Pilstrom and the bridge to the center. 3 years of that, I mean, that's really important. And I think you mentioned it, and you're right. He's going to do a little bit more with his legs. And it's clear to us. And you can just go back and look at UTSA. Barry Lunny likes a quarterback that can move. He doesn't need, like, a dual threat type of, like, insanely, you know, 50-50 run pass, but he very much likes the ability to get quarterbacks out there and move and be a threat with his legs.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what do we learn from Barry Lunny so far? And we think of the guys he's added personally. It's Cal Swanson, Kirkland Michaud, and now Luke Altmyer. And I think they're all different, but Cal makes plays with his legs, right? Like, that's his best tool right now. He can throw. He's got some arm talent. But his biggest strength is he's a phenomenal athlete that can make plays with his legs. Like, I think I'm not moving him position, but like, he's fast enough to play wide receiver, right? Like, that's he's fast enough to do that. Michaud, it's more, I think, the connection that they had, the fact that he could be a walk on, but he's kind of the pocket passer, the old school pocket passer, not as mobile. But the other scholarship guy that Lunny goes and gets is Altmyer, who can move. Like mobility is really important to him. And then it's accuracy, and then it's decision-making. Like, to be honest with you, at Ole Miss, he didn't have the greatest accuracy, but as a prep prospect, our guys graded him as like a 9 out of 10 accuracy-wise and like an 8 or 9 out of decision-making. Arm strength was like a 6 or something like that, but mobility was an 8. That's what you're getting. Like, you're getting more of the Tommy DeVito type of prospect here. And that's what is successful at every level of college football, as a guy who can make plays with his legs when he needs to, but is a good decision maker and accurate player. He's still got to prove those things at the college level, but he has played a little bit. So I don't know what my expectations are in year one for Luke Altmyer, but I don't think they're quite match Tommy DeVito. Like, I think there's going to be more interceptions, just a bit more growing pains, maybe not a 69.9% completion rate, right? But I do think this is going to be fun to watch how Barry Lunny develops him, what Barry Lunny gets out of him, because Tommy DeVito was a far more finished product being in his sixth season than Altmyer will be in his third season. But Altmyer's gotten a good tutelage, right, from Lane Kiffin. I think we all know he's a pretty good coach, no matter what you think of Lane Kiffin. Quarterbacks have been pretty good under him. So I don't think you're going to quite get Tommy DeVito production and consistency out of Altmyer, but I do think you're going to have a quarterback that gives you a chance to win games when he's surrounded, Joey, by an offensive line that has a chance to be great if Julian Pearl comes back. Because Avery Jones, I think, is going to be an upgrade at center, even though we love Pilstrom, right? Like, and I think Isaiah Adams could be one of the best offensive linemen in the Big Ten and maybe the country next year. And then you continue to get Zy Chrysler better. I think this group could be really, really good. It's a pretty deep wide receiver group. Do they take a next step in terms of getting separation in those things? Isaiah Williams, can you take another step forward? Running back, you obviously don't have Chase Brown, but I think you and I think Illinois is going to be pretty good running the ball. So I think he's set up for success, but it's going to be fun to watch what Barry Lunny can get out of this unproven so far at this level of talent.
Yeah. What's going to be asked of him? Like, I know that sounds silly, but like, this year, you could turn around and give it to Chase Brown. And I'm with you. We like the running back room. But this is a Doak Walker finalist, one of the best running backs in the country. He led the Power 5 wire to wire in rushing yards. So what? They're not going to stop running the ball because Chase Brown is no longer there. That's never going to be how Brett Bielema, Barry Lunny, and Bart Miller operate. But what are you going to need out of him? Right? I mean, do you need like a manager who can develop it? And how fast? Like, what's that development? Are you talking season to season? Like, which obviously there will be, but like, what does he look like on November 1st? Right? Like, I think that is so interesting to me. It's just how much can he kind of work out those things throughout those first 4, 5, 6 games and going down in the back stretch? It's hard, right? I mean, you've seen enough to know that, all right, this kid's got it, got some skills, but it's going to be – I'm with you. Tommy DeVito's numbers came to mind, not the complete – like, immediately when you said that, I was like, okay, like 15 touchdowns, okay, the yardage, that all sounds fine. The completion percentage probably is not going to be that, dude. Like, that's insane. And to your point, maybe more interceptions. That's not a hot take. Tommy DeVito was really, really good protecting the football. I mean, like, really, really good at it. It'd be interceptions, but – to your other point, yeah, dude, like, we're very high on the offensive line next year. And that's without Julian Pearl if he elects to move on. With him, we're much higher on it because he's a heck of a talented player. And Josh McCray, that's like my most fascinating thing going into January 2nd in the bowl game is what in the world does look like. And yeah, the receivers, that I think there could be a step there. And I also think just getting guys like Sean Miller back to be another option in there. And then, of course, do you land Malik Elzey and continue to add to what's been a really, really well-developed group? So, yeah, I don't know what expectations are. Like, I don't know. Can you put – like, a bowl game is an expectation, and a lot of that's going to fall on the shoulders of the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
So you and I were kind of talking about this on the ride home or ride here. We had a lot of things we could talk about on 20 hours in the car. But one of the things I proposed to you is like, all right, if Illinois lands Luke Altmyer, Where's he rank among Big Ten West quarterbacks? And I think we start the Big Ten West with two transfers that came in, Cade McNamara at Iowa, and I would personally have Hudson Card at Purdue. He's the number one quarterback in the Big Ten West. But those are – I think that's the top tier because they're proven. They've done it at a high level for good teams. And I think McNamara, if you want to call him a game manager, that's fine, but that's a pretty good fit for Iowa. If their offense just takes a simple step forward, they probably be my Big Ten West favorite because you know their defense is good. Their offensive line should be older, so it should be better. But their defense is awesome. So if their offense is just competent, like Illinois was this year, then they should take a step forward. Hudson Card's a really good talent. Do you want to say something, Joe?
Yeah, because your number – I think this is going to change your rankings. SMU quarterback Tanner Mordecai is in the portal and expected to land at Wisconsin per ESPN's Adam Rittenberg. So two quarterbacks for the Badgers in this portal cycle, but he is now up in that conversation, right? I mean, he's a heck of a freaking player. I've got the 24/7 story pulled up right now. He threw 33 touchdowns and 10 picks last year. In two seasons, he had 72 touchdowns and 22 picks with 3,500 passing yards a year. Tanner Mordecai, welcome to the top of the Big Ten West quarterback power rankings.
Luke Fickell changes things offensively for Wisconsin, doesn't he?
Goodness gracious. Also, and I know we'll get into it, but two quarterbacks. We got to talk about that at some point. But yeah, yes. Dude, Wisconsin is – this is not – I don't want to say like not your father's Wisconsin. This is not like 6 months ago Wisconsin anymore.
Yes, Wisconsin landing two quarterbacks. Evers is young, so that kind of makes sense. They probably talked to him about that. But I think Mordecai, does he have 1 year of eligibility? But he would certainly be the guy right away. So, yeah, that would probably be my three. Jeff Sims at Nebraska. I like Sims. Did really good when he was healthy at Georgia Tech, dual threat. He reminds me of the guys Nebraska's had recently in Casey Thompson and Adrian Martinez. And it reminded me when Nebraska fans were, like, chastising Adrian Martinez, it reminds me of Illinois, when Illinois fans would, like, complain about Nathan Chiosse not being quite good enough. And I would say, well, Nathan Chiosse is not Illinois football's problem. I didn't think Adrian Martinez was Illinois football's problem. He goes to Kansas State and shows that. I just question the things around Jeff Sims. I think his offensive line's terrible. Matt Rhule, can he change that in a year? Probably not. They usually have skill players, but I just think Nebraska still, to me, has to show that they can win the trenches, and I think that could be a problem for them. But he's more proven than certainly Luke Altmyer is, so I'll put him above him. But Ethan Calicmanis at Minnesota, similar ranked prospect as Altmyer, but he had 3 touchdowns and 4 interceptions going into today's bowl game. And I know Minnesota wasn't great offensively today. And then whoever Northwestern puts out there, I'll have Altmyer ahead. But I mean, if you had the 4th or 5th best quarterback in the Big Ten West, I think that's what Illinois would love. Like, that'd be fine for them, right? Because you expect their running game to be good. You expect their offensive line to be great. You expect their defense to remain good despite losing Ryan Walters. And a good secondary, it won't be as great, but I think Altmaier, if he's just solid, a solid Big Ten quarterback, solid Big Ten West quarterback, Joey, I think they'd feel good. And then you can build on it for multiple seasons.
I love that Jeremy Werner still struggles to get behind anything Nebraska because of the stench left by Scott Frost. Jeremy, it's going to take a long time for Jeremy Werner to come around on Nebraska.
That one, you don't get away with a little spray of air freshener, Joey. That stink lingers, man. You can't ignore the trenches, okay? Like, you have to get offensive and defensive linemen. You can't just get a bunch of skill players and go, oh, we're going to win games. Not in the Big Ten, man.
Jeremy Werner with the offensive lineman mindset all the time. We were at dinner tonight, and he goes, oh, yeah, I loved it. Then Andrew Whitworth is up there. We got to get more offensive linemen talking about football. That's right. Jeremy Werner will not. He stands for all of them. I still think Bart Miller pays you to plug these. Just offensive, not even his line, just these offensive linemen. Just throw the roses at the whole position group across the country. I still think that's happening. But yeah, dude, if you, in a more serious note, if you can get him to be it's year one, right? Like, and then obviously it'll change because it feels like quarterback, like, it's just so much quarterback turnover in college football. So year one, yeah, dude, if he can be, if he's the fifth best quarterback in the Big Ten. All right, because they're in the, especially in the Big Ten West.
Big Ten West.
There are a lot of
the top five guys might be in the East.
All the East, right. But there's been years, Jeremy, recently, that Illinois has been like the last best quarterback in the Big Ten West. So if you can get – I think I'm fascinated to see how Barry Lunney builds this, or I shouldn't say build, like fine-tunes this around him, around Luke Altmaier in terms of the expectation and what you're asking him to do, and understanding there are going to be those growth points throughout the season, throughout the offseason with him. So, yeah, fourth or fifth best quarterback in the West with what we know Illinois believes in, and that's defense, and it's still running the football. You can go to a bowl game. Will it be an 8-4, and will you be back in Florida? I don't know, but you can go to a bowl game, and you're kind of getting to that point with Illinois. You got to keep, like, you've done it now, and you don't want to take a step back. Going 5-7 next year or worse feels tough. And I understand there's a lot of loss, but I think Luke Altmaier can be a guy who can get you to those 6 wins. And it's not being a finalist for any national awards, just playing good, smart football. Remember, I was thinking about this actually, Jeremy, today maybe. Remember some of the stuff Brett Bielema and Barry Lunney talked about coaching through Tommy DeVito? Like, Tommy DeVito's growth this season alone was pretty impressive. I mean, I remember specifically Brett Bielema talked about not putting the ball in harm's way, and there's stuff where Tommy said, well, I did this my whole career. And it's like, well, that's not how this party's going here. That's why I think that's like Tommy DeVito, he was proven for a year, really, it's 2019, right? Like, it's the most proven he had been, but that was kind of a gamble too, man, because there were 2 years and he got benched, and there were 2 years where you just didn't have a great body of work. So how different is Luke Altmaier than the 2 years, 2020 and 21, from Tommy DeVito? I don't know.
He developed a lot this year, and he said that. Like, he said, like, I talked to him the other day, and I talked to his dad, and I would encourage everybody to read that story because, boy, they love their time at Illinois, and it's a real testimonial. For Brett Bielema and Barry Lunney. And Tommy said, one, that Barry kind of let him be him, play the way he wants with his swagger, all those things, while Bielema was more the, here's how you play football, here's how you play situational football. And we hear that over and over again with Illinois, how these players say they just know so much more about football. They're so much smarter. They're more intelligent and all those things. And we've seen that play out on the field, right? But Tommy was part of that. Like, Tommy made some decisions at Syracuse, made you scratch your head. Part of that was he was under constant attack.
Good Lord.
Because they had the worst offensive line in Power 5.
The trenches. Here it comes. He's back on it. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But yeah, I mean, that's a part of it, is you're set up to succeed. You're put in positions to succeed. And whether that's developing your mind or putting right pieces around you, I do think Luke Altmaier will get that. But he just hasn't done it a lot yet. So question marks, but certainly a huge upgrade in talent for Illinois at this position. And, you know, I know Illinois fans want a prep guy, and it makes sense because you get a prep guy that develops in your system, Joey. He only knows your offense. He doesn't have any bad habits. He's got chemistry with the coaching staff and the wideouts. But, man, without transfers, Illinois quarterback play would have been even far worse. Like they've been bad at quarterback prep recruiting for a long time. They've landed a lot of guys who have not had other Power 5 offers or didn't have any of their Power 5 options at the time. So they're trying to develop that. But then you've also had this constant churn of coaches, whether it's head coaches or offensive coordinators, where they always want something different, right? So they want a different flavor, whether it's Bill Cubitt wanting pocket passers and then all of a sudden Rod Smith wants guys who can run, but then Rod goes and gets Brandon Peters, who isn't a dual threat guy really. And then all of a sudden you get Garrett McGee, obviously was there too. And I don't know what Garrett McGee wanted in quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson wasn't out there for him at the time at Illinois. He didn't get a transfer and we saw the worst season ever in 2017 for Illinois quarterback play. But between that, Brandon Peters was an upgrade. Wes Lunt was an upgrade over what they had. A.J. Bush was a huge upgrade. If Rod would have kept getting some A.J. Bush-like guys, I think he could have had some real success here at Illinois. But then Bielema comes in, and he wants something different. He keeps Brandon Peters for a year just as a guy. But then you finally had Tommy DeVito, and you get an offensive coordinator. And now maybe, Joey, you can get some stability of Altmyer, who's here for multiple years. You develop Donovan Leary, you develop Cal Swanson, but you still have depth questions here, right, at quarterback, because you have 54 combined pass attempts in your quarterback room right now at the Division I level because you have DeVito gone, Art Sikowski gone. He was a solid backup, right? Ryan Johnson, who's, played a couple snaps at Illinois the last couple of years, but a guy who had to experience a D2 level, he was your number three quarterback, and now he is gone. So there's a completely new room. You'd love to add a transfer, Joey, but it's tough. I mean, Wisconsin was able to do it. Can Illinois, does Illinois look to land another guy, and can they? I think that's hard to pull off at Illinois and the current situation you have of just landing Altmyer too.
Yeah, that's you don't transfer to be a backup somewhere, man. You don't. And 3 years of eligibility, really good for Illinois. Really hard to try to pitch a second quarterback to come in and be a part of this. I think you've got to look in that Ryan Johnson mold, a guy who wants to come up, fight up. If you use a scholarship, you use one, and you did not on Ryan Johnson, someone who wants to have that opportunity to prove themselves at that level. An FCS, is it D2, whatever the case may be, I think that's the most logical to me. I talked with Art Sikowski, who, by the way, is going to be an offensive coordinator somewhere in the next 10 years. This dude's got a story from him tomorrow, coming to our website tomorrow. But he could have used him, man, and he wanted to get a start on his coaching career. Understandable. He's known for years. He's wanted to be a coach. We've known for a year and a half that he was going to be a coach. I don't know. I mean, he's got that. But, man, Illinois probably sure would have liked to have that guy in the quarterback room. And he said, it's not very fun being a backup. But you could use that stability and that leadership and just that experience at the position. But what do you do, right? I know a lot of people want Illinois to get in the portal and get another quarterback. Truth be told, Illinois probably wants that too. Yeah. But it's hard. Maybe you can capitalize after spring ball. But I think right now you'd be hard-pressed to find a quarterback who wants to jump on board. Like Mordecai at Wisconsin, let's bring that up. This is his last year.
1 year.
Yeah. 1 year. You're telling the Evers kid that, hey, it's your party, but we want you to develop for a year and be ready. And I'm sure the pitches were, Luke Fickell's got pitches for quarterbacks. But, yeah, it's not easy. It's really tough.
Yeah, I got a couple of people asking me about Brady Allen, who is at Purdue. That doesn't make any sense. I don't think Brady Allen would come here. Like, they'd rather go to a lower group of five program and play and start, right? Like, that's what these guys are doing. When you're in your third year, you're usually not transferring to go be a backup unless it's at
– For 3 years.
Right, a backup at, like, a premier program maybe. But for Illinois, I think it'd be more of a guy looking to step up and just happy to have a chance and be a snap away from potentially playing Can you find that guy? Potentially. And I think you could explain to Altmaier after spring ball, like you're saying, that, yeah, we just need depth behind you. And then you tell Donovan O'Leary, hey, go win the backup job, right? Or Kirkland Michaud, that's what you tell them. There's going to be churn at quarterback. Like, you're not going to keep these quarterbacks as backups for 4 or 5 years. Like, if the transfer portal were a thing when Riley O'Toole were in school, like, I Riley loved Illinois, and he could have transferred when he was at Illinois behind Nathan Schloss, but I just don't know how likely it is that guys like that stick around to be a backup. It's pretty rare. Like, and, you know, you see a guy like Jack Tuttle go to Michigan, that's Michigan. Like, if J.J. McCarthy's hurt, he's all of a sudden the starter at Michigan. It's the best opportunity of his career. But he knew he was going to be a backup at a premier program. That's harder to do for Illinois. So maybe you can find another Ryan Johnson, you know, lower-level guy who just wants a chance to be a backup and gives you a little bit of stability, a little bit more of a known, a guy who's not going to be afraid once the bullets start flying if he has to go into a game as a backup. But I think Donovan O'Leary and Kirkland Michaud are probably going to try and push Luke Altmaier, but Altmaier will probably win this job, and maybe those guys are battling out with Cal Swanson behind them developing. But depth would be an issue. Like, if Altmaier gets hurt, you don't know what you have behind you. You just hope we'll see what Illinois thinks of Donovan O'Leary and Kirkland Michaud in the coming months, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's – I know Art Sikowski – follow me here on this. Like, he wasn't – struggled at times as a quarterback, right?
He was not a Big Ten starter, right? Like, he wasn't a Big Ten starter if you want to win a lot of games. I thought Art was a great – I thought he was exactly what you wanted to back up.
Yeah, that's the point.
He's not going to complain. He's going to be really smart. He can make some bad decisions when he's on the field, but, like, you feel like you can withstand a lead or withstand a game with Art as long as every other thing else goes right. If you play good defense, run the ball – Art Sikowski will not maybe lose you a game.
I would like to present to you the Iowa game this year.
Almost lost it.
Almost lost it, yeah. But he did not. Backup quarterbacks are always the most popular guys on campus. And I think Illinois's got to be in the market for one, unless there's something about Donovan Leary or Kirkland Michaud that we don't know because we haven't seen practice. I mean, that's the thing. It's hard. What we're doing, the points we're making about this is just from an experience standpoint and from an age standpoint, like that's as much as we know. We don't know what's happened the last, I would say conservatively 12 bowl practices, right?
Yeah. I would just say, like, I'm not writing off Donovan O'Leary.
No.
Maybe he pushes Luke Altmaier. Maybe Kirkland Michaud after a year in college football, all of a sudden, you know, the guy who's led Austin Westlake to a state title, the first guy to do so since Drew Brees, maybe that guy is a revelation, right? Like, those things could happen, but I mean, these guys were the number 4 and 5 quarterback last year for a reason at this point. They still had a lot of developing to do, and we haven't seen them. Like, we haven't seen them practice because practice is closed, and I don't think this staff knows a ton about these guys, but the fact that they're going to Altmaier shows they thought they need an upgrade. They need an upgrade in experience and in talent, and we'll find out in the coming months what they think about depth at the position and how they can go about addressing it if they want to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm fascinated by that. Jeremy, we are fascinated. This is kind of where, to the point we started with, we are fascinated about how Illinois handles the backup quarterback position. For years, it was, does Illinois have a quarterback at all? And now we think they do, or we really like what Altmaier could bring. But now you're talking about what's this backup situation look like for Illinois. That's a dude, that is such a different conversation than you've had around Illinois football in a long, long, long time here. I see someone is Larry Battery. He's just young. He's young. We think no one's seen him.
I don't know. Like, and as a high school guy, like, didn't play at the best program, Joey. You saw him, but some of his options as a Power Five prospect dwindled towards the end. And Illinois came in and landed him. So he just doesn't have the pedigree of a guy like Altmaier. I think some of that matters. Sometimes recruiting rankings don't matter, and a guy overachieves those things or gets underlooked. Like, Donovan O'Leary was not underlooked by any means as a prospect. So it's just, you got to go by pedigree. You got to go by what you've seen. We haven't seen anything from Donovan O'Leary yet. Maybe he can be that guy. But I think Illinois obviously is showing, like, he's not starter ready. right now. So that's what we'll find out in the next couple of months. Go ahead.
And he shouldn't be. Redshirt freshmen shouldn't be starter ready. Like, that's – I know we talked about this a lot. People are probably like, dude, we get it. But that's not how – unless you're getting the five stars, the guys who are 3 years anyway, and they're off to the NFL, like, redshirt freshmen shouldn't be ready. That doesn't mean Donovan Leary's bad. Doesn't mean Kirkland Michaud's bad. It means the redshirt freshmen – they're going to be redshirt freshmen, and it's really stinking hard to go be a Power 5 quarterback. It's really hard to do. That's why there's not – I mean, the hit rates on it aren't always great. So it's okay. Like, I don't think – in the recruiting pitch, Brett Bielema said, listen, Donovan, we're looking at this 23 season as your time to shine. Maybe he did. I wouldn't imagine he did. I think he pitched him on development. I think he pitched him on the system, and that's what you're going to see. So it's okay, man. It's fine.
Yeah, and Donovan's obviously got a famous last name. His brother's a pretty dang good college quarterback. But there's the benefit of that, and that he does get looks as a recruit. And he's just got that example, right? Like, you have that resource in your life. But you also have the negative of it is people expect – maybe most people don't, but some people might expect Donovan to be Devin. And that's – Devin wasn't Devin Leary until he was, what, a redshirt junior? So, like, he took time to develop. All right, let's move on here, Joey. We're in Tampa. ReliQuest Bowl is on. I got to check my calendar because I keep forgetting what day it is down here. It is Monday when they play against Mississippi State. So just early impressions, Joey, whether it's media availability, what we've heard, what we've seen from the ReliQuest Bowl. Because we just had Bielema and Zach Arnett, the new Mississippi State coach. I was obviously replacing the late, great Mike Leach. And then – we've talked to some of the players as well. So what stands out so far?
The health. It sounds like Illinois is in a pretty good place health-wise, mostly Josh McCray. Right? I think this is a big – say it's a big game. I think it is a big game for him to go out there and to look and maybe get that jump. And I asked Brad Bielema. He said he thinks everybody's healthy. Josh Getsky was the only guy, and he went through some individual drills. And again, we say that. What we mean is the guys that – there's no new injuries. We knew the injuries who were out of, you know, Taz Nicholson, Terrell Jennings, the guys who have been out for the season. So I think going in healthy, and this not to start a hot debate here again, but there are only three opt-outs. Quan Martin's playing in this game. Johnny Newton's playing in this game. Keith Randolph's playing in this game. Julian Pearl, Tommy DeVito. I mean, you can go down the line, and that's good. Now, you're going to miss Chase and Sidney Brown. You're going to miss Devin Witherspoon. But I think this is still a pretty complete Illinois team. Now, the three guys you're missing are your superstars. But that's what stands out to me early on. I mean, I'm eager to go. We didn't make it over to practice this morning. I'm eager to go see tomorrow what we can see, what if anything, and try to maybe get a bigger grasp of it.
Yeah, probably get to see some stretching when we go to practice tomorrow. That's about it. But yeah, I think, you know, the rest of the team, there's still a strong defensive front. Because Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph and Seth Coleman and Gabe Backus are all here. Calvin Avery is still here. We'll see if he's making a showing at the beach tomorrow. The offensive line is all here. Tommy DeVito is here playing his final game as an Illini. So certainly you miss the home run ability of Chase Brown and just the production of Chase Brown. But at running back, you get a glimpse of next year. I think this is going to be very valuable to see what Reggie Love and Josh McCray can do. And, you know, Brett sounds like Josh McCray is going to get some carries in this game. If we don't know if Aiden Loughery is healthy, but I would imagine it's Reggie Love and Josh McCray at that position. And those guys would probably be the front runners for the running back job next year. And then the secondary, Matt Bailey is likely to get the start, right? Xavier Scott and Tyler Strain are going to play big roles. So we get to learn a little bit more about those guys and you know, what they look like as starters, because those guys are going to be in the mix for those positions next year. Mississippi State's missing a couple guys. Their running back, their star running back has entered the transfer portal. Their star wide receiver, Ra-Ra Thomas, is going to Georgia. So those are two of their most explosive options. But otherwise, most of their guys will be in this game. So both teams will be missing some key players. But I still think we're going to have a competitive game here, Joey. But some of the things that we learned is draft decisions still have to happen. You talked with Johnny Newton. You talked with Tariq Barnes, guys about their future decisions. We know Keith Randolph, Julian Pearl have some decisions to make. And what's interesting now, Joey, is Tommy DeVito, one of the reasons he did want to come back, him and his dad explained to me, was NIL money. right? And the chance to develop another year under a staff that has shown that they can develop players and get them ready for the NFL draft. That's all playing into the biggest decision of Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph. But Julian Pearl, too, like I think he's probably ready to go take the leap. But if he can make some NIL money and potentially improve his NFL draft stock, those things all take into account now. And that's why guys like Sam Hartman are coming back for another year. Some of these quarterbacks that can make ridiculous money. So it's just a fascinating decision process these guys go through now.
Yeah, it is. And Johnny Newton said he'll probably come to a decision a week or so after the bowl game. And they've got to come to a decision by January 16th. So I guess that's a good takeaway, Jeremy. You're starting to see some of the cards line up for what this is, you know, what this roster is going to look like. And they got their quarterback. You're still waiting on a commitment one way or the other from Malik Elzey. You're starting to see some of these draft decisions are getting down to the point you've got to make it. So, yeah, that is a big takeaway. I wonder that the way the Twitter, Instagram work, if anyone was going to, I saw Iowa, wide receiver Nico Reganey at Iowa told reporters that he was coming back. I thought, I wonder if anyone at Illinois that we talked to will say one way or the other. That was not the case. I think graphics are, that's fine. That's not a knock. Just have your moment in the sun, whichever way you decide to go. But yeah, I think those are the two big things. Brett Bielema today said that he would have in the next day or so his defensive backs coach hired. It sounds like the guy is either here or not far from here. He says he's going to be the eye in the sky at the bowl game. I wouldn't be surprised if, I guess we got to probably start lurking around the team hotel, see if we can figure out who's who here. I'm kidding. I'm not really kidding. We can go spend some time over there. But yeah, that's interesting. And it sounds like he's not really in the biggest hurry for running back and outside linebackers coach, which I think he was pretty clear about that for outside linebackers coach when we talked to him a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. So those are the big. I don't think there's anything else news, is there?
Well, I thought Brett Bielema talking about the staff was that.
Yeah.
I was going to get to is we should have a DB hire, and he mentioned that with the Aaron Henry press conference, and that is official now that he has been promoted to Illinois defensive coordinator. I don't know who it is. I will be on the lookout. Maybe we will do a stakeout at the press box because he's supposed to be in there. But imagine we might learn within the next day, according to Brett Bielema. So that'll be fascinating. Outside linebackers coach, he still keeps talking about the NFL. And the one thing I thought is interesting today is he shouted out Kevin Kane for the talent that he has built in that outside linebackers room, something you and I have talked about ad nauseum, getting the most out of Owen Carney and Isaiah Gay, getting Seth Coleman to become flashes of a star. I think he's going to be one of the best pass rushers in the Big Ten. Next year he was this year, right? But even more consistent this year, getting Gay Backus, getting Jared Beatty, getting Trey Smith, who I'm really high on in the class 2023, Pat Farrell. Like, that is a deep position. Alec Ryan, I didn't even mention. He could play a bigger role next year, too. That's a very talented room. And now Brett seems to be saying, like, I want to see more pass rush. Like, he wants the development of pass rush there. It was a good group, but at times, Illinois did struggle to get, pressure on the quarterback, right, during the season. So I found that really interesting because I think Brett knows, like, I have NFL prospects in that room. We need to get them to their peak, to get them drafted, and to continue what we've been doing on defense. So I found that really interesting. And then running backs, I would imagine, is going to be a dynamic recruiter. It'll be interesting to see where that person comes from or what their background is. But it'll be coming soon with the DB. Sounds like it'll be more patient with the other two positions. So.
Yeah, and look, quarterback watch is over, which is awesome because that is, I get it. It's very stressful for fans who want to know who the star, especially when you're talking to a starter. And Illinois is in the hunt for some names, right? So that's over, and now God love them all the fans, but now it's okay, what's next? And you're starting to see some of those line up, Jeremy. But, yeah, it's been what's been your favorite part of this Florida experience? And you can't say Buc-ee's.
I'm just happy grandma's out of her cage, man.
She's shout out to fine. Our friend Peter, man.
Yeah, she's doing just Dude, fine.
He's back.
Oh, man. Yeah, just happy that nightmare is over, that she can move on with her life. Everything's good, hopefully. Peter, hope you didn't get in trouble for it, and hope the relationship's all good. But, yeah, no, Tampa's been good so far, man. We got more of it. We're going to be at the beach tomorrow with the team. We got to see some of the city last night. Had fun doing that. Again, hat tricks was really good. Got to keep it chill tonight. But I'm looking forward to getting down to Ybor City. We haven't done that yet. Our plan is to do that for New Year's Eve, which will probably be packed. But looking forward to that, Joyce. Once we got here, right, the journey here was long and arduous. But once we got here, man, this weather, can't complain about. Like, Nashville would have been better for a lot of fans just because it's an easy drive. I think more fans would have been there. But the people that actually get down here, I think they're going to enjoy this even more just because the weather. It's been just gorgeous here.
Do you have the Brad Underwood fart noise on your computer? Because that's what I feel like after just Southwest as an entity right now. Usually a go-to travel partner for Illini Inquirer. You get all the bad fart noise on Southwest right now. That was – well, no, you handled the whole drive. All I had to do was sit there and complain. And I tried to understand dams and the point of those. Talked a lot about those on the way down. Stunningly, I'm still not sold on you should put a bunch of beavers there. You'll be all right. But yeah, it's fun, man. It's been a fun trip.
Yeah, we went by in Kentucky. It took us off route a little bit to avoid some traffic, which we appreciate from our navigation system. Yeah, it took us through some dams that were really cool. And there was like, what do dams do? And I'm like, well, I know they stop water. And I think they get, you know, produce electricity and all that, but we had to do some research on dams, and Joey got caught up on what beavers. You just want a system of beavers making their dams. I feel like concrete is a little stronger than their twigs, Joey.
And in the 49th minute, we lost everybody.
You just went up. You're talking about dams. Oh. Hey, when you're in the 49th minute, man, by the way, Illinois basketball fixed everything. During the week, changing the starting lineup, getting Sincere Harris as a starter, Dane Danger as a starter. Everything's fixed. But shout out to Illinois women's basketball as well, as they are about to take down Wisconsin. Wisconsin's not a very good program, but Illinois hasn't been either. And Illinois up, you know, going to win that game by double digits to get a second Big Ten win in their third Big Ten game. So shout out to Sean Agreeman. That is a really fun team to watch. The one thing I'm bummed about being in Tampa, Joey, is you and I won't be able to go to the Illinois women's basketball game playing Iowa on New Year's against Catlin Clark, who I'd love to see in person. So I would, you know, just as a basketball fan, I would tell people go watch this Illinois team and go watch Catlin Clark, because she is as entertaining as any male female basketball player in the world with her Steph Curry like shooting ability. She's ridiculous, man. So I would tell Illini fans, show up, man. It'd be cool, Joe, if they get a few thousand fans there, and because this team deserves it. You and I saw them on signing day, and boy, they're fun to watch.
They are really fun to watch. They shoot the heck out of it. It's that job that Shauna Green, like, if I had to pick, like, who would we think at the year end of 2023 would be the Illinois Athletics Coach of the Year? There's a lot of a lot of possibility out there for Brad Underwood, Brad Bielema, but she is making a freaking heck of a case to go in there and do that. That's what a turnaround for her, and we'll see what happens in Big Ten play. But getting one on the road now, two Big Ten wins, 2-1 in the Big Ten, what for Illinois women's basketball? What a turnaround, man!
Yeah, I thought we probably thought, hey, get 5-6 wins in the Big Ten, you feel great. I'd say you expect more than that, given the way that they're playing right now. So I think they'll have some growing pains through all of this, but I think they're legitimately a far better team and one that'll make the postseason. Like, WNIT, I think, should be an expectation for this team. And if they can put together a good January here, maybe we're talking about a team that's in the NCAA tournament and it has a chance to get there. I know they've been in some of these bracketologies, deservingly so. So if they can get to 500 in the Big Ten this year, yeah, that would be – it would be more impressive of what Shauna Green, if she makes the NCAA tournament, that's more impressive than anything Brett Bielema's done and anything Brad Underwood's done. Like, think about it. Like, it is. And that's taking away nothing from Bielema and Underwood, who have done spectacular jobs. Shauna Green took over the toughest job, maybe outside of swimming and diving at Illinois, and to do what she's doing in year one with just a couple roster tweaks, a couple really good transfers, getting the most out of the talent that's there. It's been amazing so far.
79-63 on the road in Madison. And again, you're right. This isn't a very good Wisconsin team, but those have been years that Illinois either lost that game or made it look a heck of a lot harder to win that game. So yeah, hell of a turnaround for her. Men's basketball is cruising right now. Not, let's see. I'm not upset. We're not in Champaign for the Bethune-Cookman game. Shout out to Derek Piper. But, all right, we'll see. We'll see what they look like. Right now it's football mode, Warner.
Nice little Thursday night for Illinois is Illinois men's and women's basketball getting wins here. I think I can safely say that with the Bethune-Cookman game, a 30-burger in the first half. And then Illinois football lands a four-star transfer quarterback. We'll wrap it up here for us in Tampa. For Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Thank you guys for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast, for watching on the live YouTube channel. Give us a like on YouTube. Subscribe to us as well. That really helps us out. And pass it on to friends. We love doing these live shows and doing some counter programming today to Illinois men's basketball to get you your Illinois football fix here from Tampa. Until next time, everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!